Good evening, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Thank you for joining me. Now, hopefully you've all watched the video that we put out today. We talked about a lot of information. And then, on top of that, we're going live now, obviously, and then at in another hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, we'll do our Patreon live for our Patreon members. And that is always good because we get a lot of people that show up for that, but not so many that show up for our live program or live streaming, because sometimes the questions go by as fast as you can. But the point of our live program, it is for our subscribers. If you have a question about a case, maybe one that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and we haven't gone live for the last couple of weeks due to a couple of things. Me traveling across the country, then I was sick a little bit before that. So basically, we have a lot to talk about. So let's do that. For those of you who are not familiar with Crime Talk, my name is Scott Reich. I am a practicing criminal defense attorney. I have done so for the last 25, rapidly approaching 26 years. I have tried just about every kind of case imaginable. Haven't done a death penalty case, although I had one that was started out as a death penalty case and it was headed that way. But because of a lot of mitigation, we were able to prevent that. Weren't able to prevent a guilty conviction, but we were able to avoid the death penalty for our client. I know lots of people have lots of issues or lots of opinions regarding that. And we can certainly talk about anything that comes up as it relates to that as well. I'm going to move something there so I can see the comments as they go by. Now, no one is saying you absolutely have to do this, but if you do want your, what's the word I'm looking for? The super chat, there it is. If you want to have your comment highlighted, so it's much easier to stand out. For example, Marie Stark just did that. Thank you very much, the super chat. Appreciate that, and you can do that. So, like I said, I'm a practicing criminal defense attorney. We've had this channel now. It really kind of started right around the time the Chris Watts case started. Took off when there was a sentencing. Actually, they were set for a preliminary hearing and they were going to reschedule. I was like, well, that's odd. They're either going to continue it or there's going to be a guilty plea. Turned out there was going to be a guilty plea. And then, of course, all the speculation started about why didn't everything do that? And a lot of channels out there started because of the Chris Watts case. But I think we have grown and sustained over the course of that time, whereas others have somewhat faded. And I'd like to think it's because, well, we talk about the facts. We don't talk about a lot of speculation. We like to talk about what's happening. Now, of course, the big talk is everybody thinks Chris Watts is going to withdraw his guilty plea. And I have said it, and I will stand by it. No way. Not going to happen. Bottom line. So, thank you all for joining us this evening. We'll give it a couple, minutes here for some people to continue to show up. Mama Pink, thank you very much for that super chat. Always appreciate it. Thank you very much. And always, please, if you haven't done so, please subscribe. If you haven't become a Patreon member, I encourage you to do that. When we do our Patreon live right after this on Tuesday nights, you get a link and you can participate. But on top of that, we also give you a phone number. You can call in and we can have a conversation. And it doesn't have to be really about anything. The Patreon is it's for our Patreon members. They can decide what they want to talk about, anything they want. 12-step woman, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate that. We really do. But please also, and I need to get better about this, we're trying, But if people, you know, if you haven't gone to our Facebook page, please subscribe there. We're trying to build that up a little bit. Well, let me go back there. Let me give a shout out here to Susan Zettelmoyer. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. Thank you for that super chat as well. So please don't forget to go to Facebook, like our Crime Talk page on Facebook. There's an Instagram. There's a Twitter. And then we also do have scottreich.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. We don't sell your email address. We send you an email once a week about some things that don't make the cut that we necessarily talk about that we still think are interesting and that you may like. Feel free to do so. I mean, think about it. How often do you get free stuff from a lawyer? Very often. Yeah, not very often. So just remember that. Now, I want to tell you what happened today and then give a big thank you. All right. Oh, there's Kathy. Kathy, is it Guidry? Hopefully I'm pronouncing that Guidry. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Same to you. So I'm sitting in my office today. I'm doing work. I'm reviewing some discovery for a court case on Friday. It's Friday morning. And I'm just going through it. And it's just going to get continued. Just recently retained. And my receptionist, Debbie, comes in and says, "Hey, Scott, there's a package here from you." And, well, this is the package. And I'm like, I didn't order anything. I wonder what it could possibly be. And then I thought to myself, Costa Rica? Who, what did I get from Costa Rica? Anyway, thank you, Tom, from Costa Rica. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. I won't show anything. But, of course, I got a little suspicious. I'm like, what is this thing? Apparently, somebody else got suspicious, too, because it has all this U.S. Customs and Border Protection tape on it. So, clearly, they opened it up as well. And when I opened it up, what did I see? That's right. A cigar box. And what was in that cigar box? Cigars. Look at those. Now, Tom, thank you. Hint, hint, wink, wink. I understand there's no labels on these cigars, but thank you very much. We know what that means. That means they're the best. So thank you. And so big shout out to Tom. Obviously, Tom must have seen that another subscriber, Harry, gave us a huge humidor that we're going to rearrange. The lovely Miss Kristen has stated that she's going to come in and help reorganize my shelves behind me. Some people have commented that they don't love my shelves and that it needs a little little more order to it, I guess. I don't know. It looks okay to me, but when it comes to design things, we'll defer to the lovely Miss Kristen. I just need to get her in here to do it. So we had Harry send the nice big humidor. Then also we had Marie send us a nice award for basically serving in the military in a previous life some 20 plus years ago. Thank you very much. That was very appreciative. And then today, Tom, thank you very much. Tom from Costa Rica sent me all these cigars. And I'm telling you, I don't know. Some people don't like cigars. And it's funny. If I smoke a cigar by my house, there's a park literally right across the street from my house. And I can sit on my front patio, sit out front and partake of a cigar. And some people will come within 300 feet of my house and they'll start coughing. I cannot believe that you're smoking a cigar. You're destroying the world. How dare you expose me to a cigar? Okay, we're outside and it's still America and you can still smoke outside. And of course, most of these people probably go home and partake of their marijuana at night or whatever. I'm going to smoke a cigar. And then there's always somebody that walks by. It's usually, you know, a lady, she'll be out walking her dog and she's like, oh my goodness, I love the smell of that cigar. It reminds me of my grandfather or father. He used to always have a cigar. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to get too far off on cigars, but good cigars don't smell. It's not like we're talking about a Swisher Sweet here, all right? These are nice cigars. They don't smell. Good cigars don't smell, and I don't smoke bad cigars. So just remember that, people that want to hack and say, oh, I can't believe that he's having a cigar. It's still America, all right? Jeez. Just drives me crazy. But anyway, so I want to really thank Tom. That was a really nice and unexpected gift today. Kind of made my day, not gonna lie. Now, if it was just a little warmer, I'd probably go home and turn on the heater tonight and partake of one of those. But I think that I will wait. I think I will wait until that comes about. Oh, here's a good question from Catherine in a super chat. Tell us about a challenging case you won against all odds. Well, that's a great question. You know, and I hate to say it, but I mean, a lot of people, for whatever reason, you know, people first when they see you, you know, back when people used to go to parties or cocktail events and you would mingle, they would ask, oh, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an attorney. Oh, really? What do you do? I'm a criminal defense attorney. Oh my gosh, that must be, how do you do that? And then of course people want to say, well, tell me about a case that you did or, you know, whatever. Have you ever got anyone off for a murder? And you have to say, well, yes, yes I have. In fact, like seven, walked straight out the door. It was great. Those are challenging cases. And then even just recently, I mean, normally I do between one and two felony trials a year. But since COVID hit, that has completely stopped. All right. I've done two trials all year. All right. Both in federal court, and both have been not guilty. Cases in theory, I never should have won, but I won them both. All right. The first one. Client shows up at a 3 kilogram deal, all right? And I've always said, nobody shows up to a 3 kilogram deal unless you're supposed to be there. Well, they said that my guy was there. I mean, they had the officer, the agent, they had the snitch, they had the guy that coordinated it, you know, saying that was my guy that did it. Not guilty. Not guilty. It's just wonderful. You never know what's going to happen at trial. You know, it's kind of like they say, you know, there's any on any given Sunday, any team can win. And, you know, when the most lowly team goes out there and used to beat, you know, Tom Brady, you know, against the Patriots, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Well, that's like when you go to trial. And it's funny, as you get older, right? You're a little wiser, so maybe you don't do as many trials as when you were younger. When I was younger, man, it seemed like all I did was trials. And you lose, okay? But you learn from every one of those mistakes. And maybe it's not a mistake, it's just simply, you just learn something. Every time when I go to trial, and I've been doing trials for 25 years, I learn something at every trial, okay? The last case that we just did, not guilty. Client gets pulled over. We won't go into the details as to why they pull the client over, but let's just say, for example, possibly he was trying to meet a lady of the night who just happened to be a police officer. Well, needless to say, you know, typical drug or prostitution sting, you know, go up there and I'll meet you around the corner. So go right. Well, my client goes left. They follow him, pull him around. They pull him over. They say, you're under arrest for prostitution. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. But once again, you have a cop saying, that's the guy that did it. My client is handcuffed. And I wish I could show you the body cam video. He's handcuffed. Bolts. He's handcuffed with hands behind his back. Bolts across the street. Needless to say, the police arrest him because he can't go as far. And of course, they find, what do they find in the car? A firearm. Right? It is what it is. Firearm. Of course, he's a prohibited person. Prohibited people cannot possess firearms. And so he's charged in federal court. Now, not to go into too much detail, but let's just say that this fine, upstanding citizen had previously been walked on a case about 2 years earlier where he was looking at spending a minimum of 30 years in prison. All right? But yours truly, let's just say, got all the evidence suppressed. Okay? Some people say, oh, that's terrible. No. When the police violate one's constitutional rights, the remedy is suppression of the evidence. And so there was no evidence to go forward. You would hope people would learn, but they don't. So we go to the trial in this particular case, and it becomes very clear that it was just a shoddy investigation. And even the court was kind of like, where are you going with this, Mr. Reich? I'll give you a little leeway, so to speak. Well, it turned out nobody knew who had collected the gun. Where had the gun been literally overnight? Was it in the car? You know, we got police officers cruising around in an old school caddy with a gun in the car, but nobody knows how the car got from point A to point B, who had the gun, who turned it over. Nobody knew where the detective was, all those types of things. And then to top it all off, the United States attorneys did not endorse the appropriate witness. And it was one of those moments where you're like, this is why I love this stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, as an attorney's been doing this, you say, gosh, I got to stop doing this. This is a young man's game. I'm getting too old for this. And then when the judge is sustaining my objections, like, judge, this witness can't talk about these DNA results because they didn't bring in the people to lay the evidentiary foundation and collecting the evidence. Those things are important. But so often, judges these days give the prosecutors a free pass and literally help them try their case. It's absolutely disgusting, in my humble opinion. If you want to be a judge, you're basically saying, I don't want to be a player anymore. I'd like to analogize it to playing baseball, right? You got the teams out there. One's the prosecution, one's the defense. And when you say, I want to be a judge, you're saying, I don't want to be a player anymore. I'm an umpire. My job is simply to call balls and strikes. That's it. No favoritism to one side. No, you know, cutting the other side a little bit of slack here and there. Doesn't happen. But so many judges get on the bench and, you know, they think they're still a former prosecutor. So many judges, even defense attorneys, and I've said this before, defense attorneys make terrible judges, all right? Because they've heard it all before. They're like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go be a judge. And they get up there and they're like, oh, I've heard this before. I was a defense attorney. Don't you, you're not, you're just, you know, you're just bullshitting me, you know, at the sentencing hearings, things like that. So criminal defense attorneys make the worst judges. And they have to show that they are no longer friends with their old friends, i.e. the criminal defense bar. So they want to be friends with their new friends, you know, the judges. And it's just the way it is. And I get it. The law is written in favor of the prosecution. So you have to be able to do those things. And I'm telling you, as an attorney, you know, you want somebody that as a judge that's going to call balls and strikes. And there's some out there that are really good at it, and there's some that are absolutely atrocious at it. There was a judge here in Colorado, when they get appointed by the governor, they're appointed for a 2-year term and then they stand for retention. We had a judge here recently that everybody said she was a terrible judge. You know, usually it's like, oh, the defense, oh, you're just complaining because, you know, they're too hard on sentencing. Or the prosecutors are complaining, well, they're just too soft on sentencing. They're just soft, sympathetic. But when both sides are saying you're a terrible judge, it's time to go. And this particular judge got thrown out. But it wasn't necessarily because she didn't necessarily know the law. It was just because she wasn't a pleasant person. She was just mean. And one of the other things for a judge is you have to have the judicial temperament and demeanor to treat people with dignity and respect. Yes, you are going to have people that are career criminals who have committed violent crime. And guess what? You still have to treat them with dignity and respect so that they can go through that process, even if they're convicted, even if they spend the rest of their life in prison, and say, you know what? That judge treated me with dignity and respect. That judge, I left the courtroom as though I felt I got a fair shake. Maybe I didn't win, but I know why the rulings were made that they were. And that's one of the most important things. So getting back to Catherine's questions is that, so yeah, I mean, those are just two examples. I mean, if I were to look at a case file or pull a thing, I could tell you, I mean, just so many stories of cases over the years where it's just, you've gone into trial, you think, I'm gonna lose this thing. I got nothing. And then it all changes. It can change one thing, one witness. A DA gets a little cocky, thinking, oh, we're gonna allow this in. We had a case once, we thought we were gonna lose so bad, it was a drug case. But they had wiretaps. And if anyone knows wiretaps, you know, you can't just go get a wiretap on the phone. Everybody always thinks, oh, my phone's tapped. Yeah, no, it's not. The police have to go get a wiretap. They have to go to a judge to, you know, be able to say, I want to listen to everything that Scott says. And these days, if it's on wiretap, what he text messages in and out of his phone, right? That's an extreme invasion of one's privacy. Think about what you do and talk about on your phone with people. So to get that warrant, they have to be able to show that there's no basically other investigative techniques that can be used other than this extreme invasion of one's privacy. But we had this case and we were looking at it, and the DA was not pleasant. And it was like, okay, like I literally one day went up to her. She was young. And I remember being young and you think, you know, I'm gonna show them and blah, 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 you know. I get it. We've all been there, all done that. But as you get older, you realize not everything has to be a battle. And as you also get older, you realize, man, why does everything seem like it has to be a battle? Why can't we just get along? You know, and that's what I, not to get too far off, but that's what I always love about when I was in the military. You're on the same floor as the prosecutors, defense attorney, and vice versa, whatever you are. And you'd be like, you knew your counterpart. And you could go resolve a case over the lunch hour on a 3-mile run. Or, hey, you coming over this weekend? Yeah, we're going to start grilling at, you know, 6 p.m. Come on over. You talk about the case. You can prove this. You can't prove that. Why can't we just, you know, reach compromise? If not, sometimes you just got to go try the case. But anyway, so this case where we thought, oh, I'm going to get beat. We got nothing, but the client was kind of stubborn. I kind of respect his stubbornness. But the DA was young, and she was going to show me, you know, that her offer was more than reasonable. Because I thought, my client will take, you know, single digits. Give me 6 years. We'll take it. Nope, you got to have, you know, 18. I can get that offer by going to trial and losing. I can get that same result. So game on. And as we got closer to trial, we're thinking, oh, this isn't good. We're going to lose. And about a week or two before trial, we saw their final witness list and we're doing our final preparation. We're like, they never endorsed any witness from the phone company. They have to bring in somebody from the phone company to establish who this phone belongs to and that the records that they've pulled are in fact, you know, theirs, so to speak, of the person, right? They have to show the defendant's phone. Well, they didn't do that. So they just brought in a detective and he was going to talk about the phone messages and this and that. And I kept objecting. lack of foundation, lack of personal knowledge, bam, 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 judge kept sustaining it. DA's getting upset, they're getting flustered, and why does he keep objecting? You know, Your Honor, I'd get it in, but he keeps objecting. And the judge is like, yes, and I'm sustaining the objection. So we finally go to the bench, and you know, the judge is like, well, do you have your witness? No, I don't have the right witness, judge. Well, then the evidence isn't coming in. That was the bulk of their case. So we all go home. We're feeling pretty good about myself. I have an associate with me. You know, we're trying the case. And we finish up, go to bed, wake up in the following morning. I have an email from the district attorney. And it must have been a hard email for her to send. And it was basically, if your client would like that 6-year offer, that would be great. I emailed back. I'll go talk to my client right away. Oh, and by the way, could we make that concurrent with his other case that he's serving a sentence on that I asked you for before? Yes, she responds. It just shows you no case is a complete loser when you go to trial. Okay. After trial, it gets a lot more difficult to undo. You know, if you think about it, when somebody does go to trial, the last statistic that I've seen is only about 2% of all trials ever come back on appeal for a new trial. Very, very low percentage, okay? So I always tell people, you know, a trial, that's your one bite at the apple. You don't really get another shot. You can say, oh, we've got these issues, we're really good issues, should get reversed. But sometimes the Court of Appeals disagrees. And if you lose the Court of Appeals, then you go to your state Supreme Court, the highest in the state. They're called different courts in different places. But here we have Court of Appeals and then the Supreme Court. And so, you know, you have to, you know, just deal with, you know, with those issues. But you only, if you don't lose a trial, I mean, the reality of it is you got a very low shot of getting a case reversed. So you have to, you know, it depends on who you get as your trial counsel. Doesn't mean you're going to win them all, I assure you. I wish it were easy to say, well, I've been doing this for a long time, I'm going to win everything. Doesn't work that way. I mean, I've lost trials to, you know, DAs that had really good facts, and it was their first trial ever. So, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll leave it at that. So hopefully, you know, I like that. And hopefully it answers your question, Kathleen. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, what attorney doesn't love talking about war stories? I mean, I could talk about, you know, cases that I've seen, but at the end of the day, it's like going to go try the case. And you'd be surprised, so many attorneys don't. Like I said, this is a rare year for me, 2 trials in an entire year. I'm usually doing 1 to 2 a month. That are all felonies, and this is not the case. You know, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But there's some attorneys out there who have never tried cases. And guess what? The DAs know that. Just like a defense attorney knows who the lazy DAs are, they know who the lazy defense attorneys are. They know the guys that's never tried a case. I still think we get some really good deals simply because people go and talk to, you know, particularly the younger DAs go and talk to the senior district attorneys like, oh yeah, Scott, you know, he's a straight shooter, and you know, he'll give you a run for your money. I had a court appearance today. It was a resentencing on a homicide on an issue, and the DA on the other side, you know, she's so professional, so amicable. I mean, just very nice person. And you know, it was a battle in court for 2 weeks. And, you know, at the end of it, we were still, hey, you know, great trial. I mean, the jury deliberated for 3.5 days on that case. But, you know, you shake hands and, you know, that's just the way it is. Everyone's doing the best they can with the facts they're given and the law that exists. So let's see here. Jason, laugh out loud, prohibited people. Yes, those are people that are cannot possess firearms. Why do they keep coming up? I don't know what that means. File motion to stall for the next 11 months. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm missing something here. let's see here. I'm not spacing off here. I'm reading some of the comments go by. Oh, no, I haven't heard about this. Woman named Christine that was arrested in Ohio for kidnapping from Colorado. No. You know, and you know, I assure you, we try to keep up. we try to keep up. There is so much that goes on. Obviously, you know, we scour, we try to bring you interesting stories and try to bring you relevant stuff so that we can talk about the law. And, but there is so much stuff out there. I mean, if I had the resources, you know, so if you all were to buy some, maybe a few more mugs, that's right, a few more mugs, I could hire literally a researcher and writer so that we could do this. If, you know, if I had a few more resources and a few more hours a day, I'd put Crime Talk up, you know, literally 8 hours a day. You know, we could do live content. I mean, we could sit and talk. We could bring in attorneys. I just need to be able to focus and to do that. So buy the mugs. You need to please buy the mugs. All right. Get me out of practicing law, and I will sit here every day for 3 hours, maybe 8 hours. You know what I'm talking about. We'd put up content, but we would do it. But you know, that's a lot of mugs. So y'all need to get started. And who wouldn't want a mug for Christmas? For goodness sakes. I mean, what a great stocking stuffer. Let's face it. Your spouse is probably not going to get you what you want, because what do you really want? Crime Talk merchandise, right? And you got to order it now. Otherwise, it's not going to be there in time for Christmas. So do it now. And you can put your favorite beverage in here. Tonight, it's just water. If it was during the day, it'd be Red Bull. But, you know, for every Red Bull, we have to drink like a gallon of water to flush the kidneys. It's just the way it is. All right. All right, let's see here. Let's see if we can ask find another question here. Hopefully that answers everyone's questions. But yes, I do love, you know, talking about, you know, cases and things like that, because there's just such crazy stuff out there. And I've said this before, if people knew how much crime took place, you know, some cities have a police blotter where literally they put up every police contact or arrest. You know, Florida seems to have very liberal laws when it comes to disclosure of arrest records and things like that. I mean, it's like, man, does all their stuff come from Florida? Does everyone in Florida get in trouble? But that's just the way it is. But it's like that everywhere. Let's see, 12-step woman, prosecutor eats lunch with public defenders anyway. You know, I'll be honest with you. Some of the best attorneys I've ever seen have been public defenders. Some of the worst attorneys I've ever seen have been attorneys in private practice. So, you know, people cannot, you know, make those generalizations at all. Like I said, there's some attorneys, I had somebody call me the other day, and it's like, oh, so-and-so's attorney. I was like, well, I'm not going to really say anything bad, but I wouldn't hire that guy. And every time that guy gets near a case I'm on, he screws it up. I don't want anyone to do that. Yes, I am a realist. I'm a subscriber to this channel, but the first time on a live chat forum. Could listen to you all evening. Only person I trust for accurate information regarding Chris Watts. Well, thank you, Forever Loved. Appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hopefully that's because you hit that little bell so that you receive notifications when we went live. There's a reason why I keep telling everybody that at the beginning of the videos. It's not because I enjoy saying that, but it matters because, you know, I read and I see all this stuff on algorithms, and it's all about interaction and all that kind of good stuff. So buy mugs, interact, leave comments. It's good. All right, let's see here. Don Marie. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Don Marie. Yes. Yes. And also go to crimetalksearch.com. Go to Crime Talk Offers. I mean, there's stuff there. It's, I'm telling you, background subscription search. Everyone should have access to that information. You know, what are you going to do? Go search all the databases, do a quick Google search. You're never going to get it. Even if you only use it once, it's worth the cost for one time. Let's see here. Preach Queen, Scott. some guy said you would back him in that if Chris Watts gets new evidence, he would get a 35C. You've already said he has zero chance. Is there anything to what this guy says? Let me see if I have my book here handy. Let me just pull one right here. Okay. Let's just take a look for everyone out there. Okay. And we've talked about this. Chris Watts pled guilty. All right. If you want to contest issues about your case, you have to go to trial. We've read the transcript line for line. We've read it to you. We've posted it. You can go to scottreich.com and you can read the colloquy, the questions back and forth between the judge and Chris Watts. And they go through and says, this is what you're pleading. First, she says, this is what you want to do, right? You sure about this? And a good judge will almost try to talk any defendant. It sounds like the judge is trying to talk the defendant out of pleading guilty. Like, hey, are you sure you want to do this, man? I mean, the guy on the other side of the room over there has got to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt unanimously to a jury of 12 people. And that's a pretty tough burden. Are you sure you want to give that up? And by the way, if you go to trial, you got these other really cool constitutional rights. Not only does the prosecution have to prove them, but you have a right to participate in the selection of the jury. You, through your attorney, get to cross-examine and challenge any of the witnesses that are brought before you, as well as any of the evidence. And at trial, if you think you have witnesses that need to be present so that you can present evidence in your case, you can subpoena those witnesses. And guess what? If they wouldn't come voluntarily, the court is going to pay for those witnesses to show up. All right? The judge will say, and on top of that, guess what? You don't have to prove yourself innocent. They have to prove you guilty. And what that means is that you have an absolute right to remain silent. Make the prosecution prove the case. But if you do testify, you'll be cross-examined like any other witness. But guess what? If you choose not to testify, the judge says, I'm going to give that jury over there an instruction, and the jurors are going to follow that instruction. And it's going to say, you can't consider the defendant's silence in any way at all when making your decision. You simply have to look at the evidence, the legal evidence that has been permitted. And the judge is going to say, and you know what? Another cool constitutional right is, if you lose all those objections, all those motions that your attorney filed, I may have ruled against you on them, but guess what? You can go appeal that to a higher court to see if I, the judge that I'm going to plead, that you know Chris Watts is pleading guilty from, made a mistake that resulted in an unfair trial. And the judge is going to say, but hey, I just want to make sure you're absolutely clear. If you plead guilty here today, any of those motions that your attorneys were going to file, any witnesses, anything that you're going to do, all goes away. You forever waive those issues that exist when you plead guilty. Because when you plead guilty, Mr. Watts, you admit as a matter of law and as a matter of fact that you did it. And it will forever say that you did it when you enter your guilty plea. So are you sure this is absolutely everything you want to do? And what did Chris Watts say? Yes, yes, yes. And he said it after every charge was read to him in open court. And there was an agreement in his plea agreement that he couldn't waive a factual basis. So what that meant was he was agreeing that he did it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, people don't plead guilty to life sentences to go and spend the rest of their life in prison to never get out like it's no big deal. It doesn't happen. and the judge makes sure that before he accepts those guilty pleas, that it was a knowing, voluntary waiver, and that Chris Watts understand the consequences to his guilty plea. He understood the punishments, basically the consequences. He understood the plea agreement, and he understood all of his constitutional rights that he has to go to trial. Even if his attorneys say, hey, this is a pretty good deal, man. They're taking the death penalty off the table. You should maybe do that. Oh, okay. And he pleads guilty. He says he's satisfied with his attorneys. He says he's had enough time to talk about the facts, the law, the evidence in the case. The judge specifically asked, is there anything you think your attorneys should have done before we go forward? And if he had said, yeah, I want him to check into a couple more things, you know, maybe somebody else did this stuff, maybe somebody else was involved, I didn't do it, I'm just taking the rap for it. Guess what? The judge would have set that over and said, we're not taking this guilty plea. We're not taking this guilty plea until he can come in here and say, I have had enough time. I'm satisfied with my attorneys. I've had a chance to look at the evidence, and I understand what the evidence shows. I've talked about defenses. You know, the judge asked me, have you talked about defenses? Have you talked about, you know, any defense you may have in the case? Yeah, satisfied with them. They did a great job. Okay? That guilty plea is bulletproof. And what I mean by bulletproof is that there's nothing in there. If someone were to file a 35C, what do they have to show? They have to show that their plea was, their conviction was obtained unconstitutionally. Well, guess what? Under Rule 11, and that's, you know, the advisement that the court goes through, it's the federal rules, and then most states mirror it. It's the Rule 11, Rules of Criminal Procedure, Rule 11. It clearly states that the defendant has to be advised of the rights they have, the right to give up, and the possible penalties. He was. That made it a constitutional plea. If he wanted to dispute the evidence, there was a time for that. That was trial. He didn't go to trial. He pled guilty. And the judge makes no difference to him whether he pled guilty or went to trial. Frankly, Judge Kopkow, I've been in front of him. I think I've done one trial in front of him. I know I did a motions hearing. I think the motions went up to, I won, and it went up to the Supreme Court, and they sustained it, so we didn't get to trial. But he's a smart guy. He would have given him a fair trial and let the chips fall where they may, bottom line. So to do a 35C, one has to show and say, hey, my conviction was not constitutionally obtained. Okay, well, let's talk about that. The judge is going to go back and he's going to read the transcript that Frank just put up there on the screen, parts of it, and you can read it. Mm-hmm. It's at scottreich.com. Don't take my word for it. Go read it. And when you're there, sign up for the newsletter. But the fact of the matter is, it's there. So the judge is going to look at it and say, you know, there's nothing here that says I did not properly advise him. He stipulated that he did it. All right. The only thing I wish the judge would have done, and most federal judges do this, most state court judges don't do this, but one or two, tell the defendant, in your own words, tell me what you did. You know, and I tell clients, man, if some judges will ask you, some won't. You better be prepared. Don't Mickey Mouse around, right? You got to tell them what you did. Hey, I was the one, I sold those drugs. Yeah, I beat up my girlfriend. I did whatever. You tell them unequivocally, you did it. Goes to acceptance of responsibility, which is the first, you know, step on the road to rehabilitation. So the judge would look at that transcript and say, there's nothing there. The prosecutor would say, why would I give him a hearing, judge? He pled guilty. Most 35Cs are done when somebody goes to trial. right? Think about all the cases that we've talked about here on Crime Talk, where somebody's been in prison for decades, right? And it turns out, oops, the wrong guy. DNA, faulty identification process and procedures that go in. We talked about a case just the other day where a man spent 40 years in prison because a woman said, yeah, I think I saw him outside of the house that, you know, the arson took place. She comes out later, 40 years later, and said, I lied. She had a lot of pressure by people to say he was the one that did it. But what did that guy in prison for 40 years do? Always maintained his innocence. He never pled guilty. He didn't do it. Okay? Do guilty people plead guilty? Sure. I've had, you know, it's just like when you get a speeding ticket and you go and you talk, you have to, they make you show up for court, and the young, you know, the city attorney's there and says, I see you got a 6-point speeding ticket, but you had a pretty clean record. I'm going to give you a defective vehicle, 2 points. You're like, done. I'll take that, right? Insurance doesn't see it. My insurance rates aren't going to go up. This is going to be a good deal, right? It's on your record, defective headlamp. Did you have a defective headlamp? No. But you waived a factual basis so you could take that plea in exchange for the bargain, an Alford plea is what they refer to it as. But it's not murder. And I tell clients all the time, I have to look clients in the eye and say, man, you have told me from day one you didn't do it. You're looking at spending the rest of your life in prison. So if we go to trial and we lose, because I can't guarantee you a result, you will be remanded. You will go into custody. We'll come back in 6 weeks for sentencing, where you will be sentenced to prison for more than likely the rest of your life. But they made you a pretty sweet deal. You just have to admit that you did it. Some people say, I can't risk going to prison for the rest of my life. I got a family. I got whatever. Other people are like, I didn't do it. I'm not pleading guilty to it. Okay? I had a guy, I didn't do his first trial. First trial, he lost. Maintained his innocence. Rare case, it comes back on appeal. He hires me. We go, we retry the case. Not guilty. He always maintained his innocence. I truly believe, even though he spent 4 years in prison, he got out. The DA was like, I'll make you an offer so we don't have to go to prison. Credit time served. Basically, this case is done. And my client, who was looking at spending the rest of his life in prison again, said, no, I didn't do it. I'm not going to plead guilty to something I didn't do. And we went to trial and we found not guilty. So think about that. When somebody says, oh, I'm going to 35C somebody. 35Cs are usually when somebody gets convicted, it's like, man, I didn't do it. And that attorney that they gave me, he was a drunkard. He fell asleep. He didn't interview a single witness in my case. I told him I had an alibi and he didn't do it. And he just kept telling me, sit down, it's gonna be okay. And then you go back, you interview him, so that's, you know, oh my gosh, he did have an alibi, okay? The attorney was ineffective in their investigation. Now, some people are going to say, well, there's new evidence. Oh, okay. Well, what kind of new evidence is that? Because guess what? For it to be considered new evidence, it had to be something that wasn't available at the time that the first case was going on. So what new evidence out there, guy who sits in a chair, do you think is going to come about? Think about it. Let's take a stroll down memory lane where Chris Watts, you know, starts engaging in an extramarital affair with Miss Kessinger. She rocks his world. He thinks, man, I got a wife and two kids. I'm broke. I'm in debt. I got another kid on the way. Wow. And then I got this new woman. Excuse me. I got this new girlfriend over here. All she wants to do is have sex with me. This is great. He's losing like 30 pounds, you know, exercising all the time. Wife's off traveling with the kids. He's back here knocking boots with the new girlfriend. Life is good. But then he starts thinking about it. You know, man, God, that Shanann just, I mean, she annoys the hell out of me. And if I had to, you know, start all over again, it'd be a hell of a lot easier, because if I get divorced, I mean, I'm not going to have any money to support me and my new girlfriend. We're not going to be able to do anything, because I'm going to have maintenance. I'm going to have child support. And there's going to be money on top of that. And I'm going to look like a really bad guy for, you know, leaving Shanann, who's pregnant with two young kids. She's got lupus. One of the children has, you know, allergies galore. And I'm going to look like a bad guy over here, you know, rocking it with my new girlfriend. So she comes home. Shanann comes home from a trip, according to Chris Watts' own words. And I think the jailhouse interview, if anyone has any doubts whatsoever, the things, well, maybe Chris didn't do it. Maybe Chris Watts didn't do it. Go and listen to the jailhouse interviews. Okay, not the ones where he's down in Frederick, Colorado, and the police are talking to him and they do the polygraphs. He fails miserably. I mean, just crashes and burns, right? And that's the other thing. On a 30, you know, when all those issues, I was coerced, I was withheld food. Guess what? That's a motion for trial. You're the one that wanted to plead guilty. I mean, it makes no sense to me. You can go back and look at my other videos, like, what are you doing? You haven't even got to motions hearings, for God's sakes. Litigate this stuff. If it looks like you're going to lose, then maybe you cut a deal. But don't do that so early. But go to the interviews where the FBI, the CBI, and the detective from, I think it's Frederick, police department, go up in there and they talk to him. And he just tells them like it, way it is. You know, hey, can you have a conversation? Mind if we record it? No, go right ahead. He's like, yeah, I killed her. Yeah. Yeah, I killed her. You know, really couldn't believe it. Then the kids came in. Oh, wow. You know, and, you know, puts them in the car and then takes them out to that well site, kills his own two children. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Are you kidding me? I mean, yes. If you've ever had kids, you jokingly say, I could strangle them, right? But Chris Watts did. Like, so get for real. And then what did he do? He doesn't just kill them. He then takes their little bodies and he stuffs them into an oil tank battery filled with crude oil that's been pumped out of the earth. And you take a look at the photograph of that little top that, you know, maybe this is big enough, people look in, maybe they can stick a stick down there, see how full it's getting. He stuffs his kids in there. And read the reports in the discovery. All that discovery is up at scottreich.com. The autopsy report, I think the autopsy report's up at scottreich.com. If not, maybe we'll put it up again. And read the autopsy report, those little children. And because they were in those oil tank batteries for the time period that they were, what was it, 24, 48 hours? And that thick crude oil, they had to drain the tanks. They had to unbolt it. People literally working around the clock to remove those little bodies. They're little bodies, they're little in size, they're filled with oil. The emergency personnel would go to grab the children to slide them, and their skin would come off because of the oil. Think about that. The reason why Chris Watts pled guilty is because he's guilty. And he knew what the evidence was going to be. And he knew that he didn't want to look 12 jurors, with a couple of alternates for sure, in the eye. Because I guarantee you, those jurors, when they hear that evidence, they were going to be staring at him. Okay? And it's fun to sit around and speculate. All right? And no disrespect. All right. But some guy who says, I'm a detective, who's never probably been in a courtroom, God knows, never tried a criminal case, it's easy to sit back and say, oh man, somebody should go do this, go do this. Okay? Go talk to the attorney that's got to go try the case and say, man, we're going to get slaughtered. And that's okay. I'll go do it. I'll take my beatings. Been there, done that. I've done those trials before. And you say, all right, have a good day. See you at sentencing. Or, oh, we just went to immediate sentencing. Have a great day. See ya. Told you we were going to get slaughtered. Just like I predicted. Okay? So it's simply not going to happen. And here's the thing. Let's just say Mr. Watts and all his supporters, cheerleaders, whatever you want to call him, fan club, if they think that he's got such a great case, put your money where your mouth is. Start a GoFundMe page. Go hire an attorney for him so they can file something. Because guess what? You got one shot at it. And you got to get past the guilty plea. All right? And even if you get past the guilty plea, guess what? You still have to show that it would have changed the outcome of the trial if it had even gone, right? That's what I'm saying. 35Cs are usually for people that have gone to trial where they said, hey, this evidence was withheld. The prosecutor didn't turn it over. My defense attorney did nothing. I gave him a list of 10 people to go interview and they didn't do anything. And if you'd called or interviewed those witnesses, they would have said this and they would have cleared me. That's what a 35C is for. 35C's there so that the process works, so that we don't convict innocent people and send them to prison. And if it does happen, hopefully it gets rectified. But when you plead guilty, come on. Let's get for real, ladies and gentlemen. So all of these cheerleaders, fans, these guys that are trying to make a quick buck off of, you know, Chris Watts and saying, we're gonna keep this story going forever. We're going to keep it going. You know, I saw a shadow here. And okay. Prove it. Is that admissible in court? Guess what? The district attorney in Greeley, Mr. Rourke, I have known him since he was a prosecutor down in Arapahoe County years ago. He is a straight shooter. He is a law and order guy. If he thought that someone else was involved, he would have prosecuted them. Bottom line. All right. It was Mr. Rourke who just a couple days ago, there was an officer that was charged with, I think, manslaughter for shooting somebody that was over the top. He was acquitted. Rourke says, I'm not prosecuting anyone where this particular officer is our key witness because I think he's a liar. I think he's over the top. Okay? So the DA out there, the police officers out there, and yes, we keep on the police officers because that makes us all do a better job. You think if they thought, I mean, a detective stayed out there overnight because he knew those little bodies were in an oil tank battery. How did those people just happen to get there? I mean, who just happened to be working at that oil tank battery? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, but you have to look at the facts. Everybody can have a belief, but then there's facts, ladies and gentlemen, and you can't remove yourself from those. And reasonable doubt is not a vague, imaginary, or speculative doubt, but a real doubt that would cause people to pause in matters of great importance. So do you really think the prosecutor, who I think is probably one of the most professional prosecutors I've ever met, the prosecutor, the Chris Watts case, if he thought someone else was involved, that he wouldn't have prosecuted them? That's ridiculous. If you think that those police officers had thought somebody else was involved, that they would not have prosecuted them? That's ridiculous. Bottom line, that's it. Chris Watts is not getting a 35C. I mean, he can file all he wants. He's got one crack at it because guess what? Number two, that's considered successive. You don't get to keep filing 35Cs. It's kind of like those bond arguments. One of the nice things about criminal defense law is we have closure, right? Civil cases, yes, they pay really well, but they go on forever and ever. Eventually, criminal cases have to come to an end. Mr. Watts' case came to an end the day that he pled guilty. No, you did not miss the To Kill a Mockingbird book club. We need to do that. We just need to plan it out better. Things have just been really busy, and I apologize. We haven't gotten around to that. So sorry to go on the tangent there, but it just, like I said, no disrespect. Everybody can have their theories. Everybody can do what they want. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all like to sit and speculate about cases, you know. JFK, the shooting. Who doesn't have their own theory about that? One of these days, maybe we'll get all the information, maybe more information, and it'll change those theories. But until then, people like to speculate about it. But it's not going to change anything. And so, like I said, Mr. Chris Watts, he can file whatever he wants. It's going to get denied. So anyway, I think that's it. Hopefully everyone will, I don't know. And like I said, for somebody who's, you know, a lot of these people never, and I get it, true crime is great. It's truly fascinating and interesting. But it's kind of like CSI, you know? Does it always get solved in 20 minutes? Do they have all this amazing technology? No, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, it's... I don't know. It's just frustrating. It'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. Do I have all the answers? No. But I do have 25 years of practical criminal law experience trying criminal cases. So I think that's worth just a little bit more for some guy sitting in his chair all day. That's all I got to say about that. All right. Can you believe we've already been doing this an hour? And guess what? We've got to do our Patreon live. So if you'd like to continue the conversation, go to the links below, sign up for Patreon. It's like $5, right? What is that? Less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks or something like that. And you can call in and we can have a conversation. You can ask me anything you want and we will talk about it. Because Patreon, people put their money where their mouth is. They say, wow, Scott, we really love you. We really support you. Here's $5. Okay. It's great. Doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, between $5 and mugs, one of these days we'll be able to quit practicing law, right? So anyway, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe. Please check out all our videos. And if you have any questions on the Watts case, we've got all our videos up. You can see what has transpired. We have all the evidence up. We have all the discovery up at scottreich.com. You think there's something out there? Go read the discovery. I have the autopsy report. I was on the list. So when it came out, the coroner sent it directly to me. Why? Because we wanted to see what was there. We're not going to speculate about it. We're going to actually do it. Let's talk facts. Let's talk reality. That's just the way it is. And you know, like I said, we must be getting everything right because not doing everything right, but we must be being towing it down the middle because I get people, they're accusing me, oh my gosh, Scott, you're some left-wing liberal. And then other people's like, man, you're some right-wing. No, I can't believe you did. No, we're talking about the facts, right? The facts, that's what matters. I'm trying to give you my perspective on cases from a criminal defense attorney. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. Giving you the facts, let's talk about the law. Just like today, we talked about the Ahmaud Arbery case, right? I think all those three defendants are in big trouble. Big trouble. Why? Because we've read the law. We've had videos where we've talked about the law and said what their defense is, not going to cut it. They're not even going to get an instruction because it didn't apply. So that's what matters. All right. Please subscribe. Please join us on Patreon. Please go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, follow us, please. It's Crime Talk. Can't miss us. And we appreciate it. And we'll get better on the social media, promise. Just, it gets, there's so much to do. There's so much you could do. I need a staff of like 10 people. And so we try, we do our best. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you taking the time. We know there's lots of things out there in the world that you could be doing, spending time with your family, watching some good TV, watching some really bad TV. So the fact that you take the time to watch us is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful night, and we will see you on Patreon in about 10 minutes, and we will see you tomorrow on Crime Talk. Thanks for tuning in.